The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus, the podcast and radio broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Our question of the day, will some believers really be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ? Are not sorrow, tears, and shame supposed to be done away with? We'll listen straight ahead for some clarity on this as Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates have a discussion about this.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus. This is Ken Yates, and I'm here with the esteemed
Bob Wilkin.
That's right.
I don't know about esteemed, but okay.
Well, the reason I did that, introducing you, is because I have a question here from Brett, and he specifically mentions you and your great scholarship. That's what he says. So he goes, I have very high regard for your scholarship. And here's his question. However, there's always the but, right?
Right.
And here it is. In this article that you wrote, you speak about the fact that glorified believers, there will be some glorified believers at the judgment seat of Christ who are ashamed. And he goes, I just cannot see a glorified believer, whether he is a leader in the church or not, being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. The reason why is because he's glorified. So how can he be ashamed? And he goes, I'm writing you in hopes that you have put more thought into this concept and explain it to me about a believer at the judgment seat of Christ experiencing shame. How can that be?
Well, great question, Brett. And I have given this a lot more thought and my view strengthens. It's not weaker, it's stronger. I remember, and I think you may have, did you take Hebrews from Zane Hodges at Dallas Seminary?
Yes, I did.
You were probably in one of his last.
I think I was in the very last one he did. Right?
But I took him in earlier.
Because you're older than I am.
Yeah, I am older, and I was about 4 years ahead of you, I think, at Dallas Seminary. But I remember when I took him, he kept talking about being Christ's partners in the life to come. We're going to rule with him if we're persevere, if we're faithful. And I said, man, I see an awful lot about rewards. I thought there were only two major passages, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. His response was, no, rewards are on almost every single page of the New Testament. And I was struck by that. And I think this idea of shame at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not on every page in the New Testament, but it's found in a lot of places. Let's just think of a few of them. Turn with me, Ken, if you haven't, and you who are listening, turn to 1 John 2:28. And you can find 1 John because it's before 2 John.
Oh, wow. Wonder who thought that up.
That was a genius way they've arranged this. But 1 John 2:28, Hodges suggests this is the theme verse for the whole book. Could you read that, Ken?
1 John 2:28, of course, John is speaking, and he's a believer, and he says, and now, little children,
right?
That's significant. Who's he talking to? Talking to believers. Abide in him, that when he appears, we, so he includes himself,
right,
may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Yeah, not be ashamed. This word ashamed means ashamed.
Oh, really?
That's why it's translated ashamed. There's two options. And what's interesting is, what's the Greek word for coming here?
Oh, well, you got parousia.
That's it.
Right,
that's
right,
the word
right
here. And do you happen to know the word for confidence or boldness here?
It's very similar.
Yes.
Parousia or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Parousia.
Right.
Well, that's how I pronounce it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm bad at pronunciation. But
we don't have our Greek text out here.
I do. I have it here.
Oh, he's got it in front of him.
But it's parousia and parousia, and there's a play on words.
Right.
We want to have parousia, boldness. At his coming. And the same thing occurs at the end of the main section of the letter in 4:17-19. But there's an opposite option.
We can either have boldness, that's one option.
Or shame.
Or shame.
And so John is holding those out before us and saying, if we persevere, we're going to have the boldness, but if we don't, we're going to have the shame. Now, the same thing is found in the parable of the minas in Luke 19, 11 through 27, especially verses 16 through 26. The first servant hears, well done, good servant, because you were faithful and little, have authority over 10 cities. The second servant, who goes from 1 to 5 minas, he hears you also be over five cities.
You mean from 10 to 5, not 1 to 5?
No, one. Oh. No, okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, well, yeah, the first servant goes from 1 to 10.
Right.
And the second servant could have had 10,
right.
But he goes from 1 to 5.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the second servant doesn't hear, well done, good servant. He doesn't get the commendation, but he does get rulership over five cities. But the third servant is not called a good servant like the first guy, well done, good servant. He's called a bad or an evil or a wicked servant, depending on your translation. And so he judges him and rebukes him. Well, he's going to have shame because he was unfaithful, and he has his mina taken away and given to the one who has 10, and those minas represent cities. So now the guy with 10 cities gets a bonus city, and the guy with one potential city gets no cities, so he doesn't get to rule. And this ties in with Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we endure, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. That is, if we fail to endure so that at the end of our life we're denying Christ, then he's going to deny us the privilege of ruling with Christ.
And what will that experience be like? That's part of the issue here.
Right.
You know, if you're denied this reward or this approval by the Lord, as the question by Brett brings out, you're a glorified believer. What will that denial do to you?
Well, it's going to be something which is painful. In fact, Matthew 24, the end of the chapter, 24 and 25 is the Olivet Discourse, all about the second coming of Christ, looking forward to the rapture, and then the judgment of the sheep and the goats, which is the end of Matthew 25. And in 24, 45 to 51 is the parable of the just and the unjust servant, which I believe is one servant who starts out doing well. He's feeding his fellow servants. He probably illustrates a pastor or a leader in a local church, like an elder. And then he says, my Lord delays his coming. And he begins to beat his fellow servants, according to the Lord Jesus. And he begins to drink with the drunkards. And the Lord comes at a time when he doesn't expect him. And he cuts him in two. Well, nobody believes that at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, anybody's going to be literally cut in two.
His
tongue is like a sword, like a two-edged sword.
His word.
This is going to be a verbal tongue lashing, and it's going to hurt. And so that's what the shame is going to be like. It's going to be like getting cut in two. It's going to be painful. But the question that Brett has is, how can a glorified saint experience shame? Well, part of the problem is Brett is thinking that glorified saint equals a person incapable of any negative emotions. I believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, it's clear that unfaithful believers are going to experience negative emotions. There's going to be pain at the bema for the unfaithful servant. And that's clear in many, many passages. This is but another. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. All 10 are virgins. All 10 represent believers.
All 10 go to sleep.
All 10 go to sleep. But only 5 have sufficient reserves of oil to keep their lamps burning. Only 5 persevere. Now, I think this looks at tribulation saints, because the midnight cry is probably the abomination of desolation.
In the middle of the tribulation.
Right. But the point is the same. 5 of them fail to persevere to the end of the tribulation. And so as a result, they're not going to be allowed to do the torch dance, which symbolizes, I think, ruling with Christ in the life to come.
And definitely a privilege, a reward. Right.
And they're going to have shame.
Right.
And so it seems to me that Brett needs to recognize that at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be shame, there will be pain. However, it's going to be short-lived. I talked to Zane Hodges about this on multiple occasions, and he said, we in this life, when we have grief, it can last for hours or days or months or years, right? If we lose a loved one, you lost your daughter, what, 3 years ago
right.
now?
Mm-hmm.
That grief, you're still not completely over, right?
Right.
But it got better over time.
Yes.
When Libby or Elizabeth, as your book says, when she passed, although you're joyful that she's with the Lord, there's great grief you have to experience. But you get over it to some degree, and you will get over it fully when you're glorified, right?
Right.
Well, Hodges argued that a glorified saint would get over this grief in a matter of minutes. It's not going to last for the millennium. You know, some people interpret Revelation 21:4, he's going to wipe away every tear, to refer to saints who are glorified, who have shame during the whole millennium.
Because of the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah, no.
Right.
No, that's the tears of all the people in natural bodies, all people. There's going to be no more tears forever. That's the point of that, because forever there's going to be no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. By the way, I would just extend this to Brett. In my view, we in glorified bodies are going to have negative emotions. We're told that the tree of life will be for the healing for the nations. Might it be that people in non-glorified bodies would experience some injuries that wouldn't cause pain, but certainly they would be annoyed by the blood or annoyed by the injury or whatever. And so it seems to me we in glorified bodies might experience some things that we call on the negative side. In fact, Hodges suggested if we had only positive emotions, the positive wouldn't be as great as they could be.
I think the bottom line for this whole discussion is we know scriptures tell us there will be shame at the judgment seat of Christ for some believers.
Right.
What that will mean in glorified bodies, we can't know exactly, but we know it will occur.
And so there's no question there will be negative consequences at the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, some of this carries over, because if we don't rule, we're never going to rule. If we don't get the hidden manna, we'll never get the hidden manna. If we don't get the special white garments, we're never going to get the special
or the stone. Right.
If we don't get the white stone, we're never going to get the white stone with a special name on it, etc. And so those things will carry over. But keep this in mind, Brett. Every glorified saint is going to be joyful forever. They're going to have abundant life forever. But their life won't be as abundant as it could have been if they miss out on ruling with Christ.
Amen.
Or let's say I rule over 5 cities instead of 10. And so in terms of negative things, I might have regrets. I mean, sure, David's going to regret forever having killed Uriah, wouldn't you think?
And his adultery with Bathsheba, sure.
Wouldn't you think there'd be regret there?
Right.
But as a glorified saint, it's not going to bum him out. Right? Okay, well, I hope that makes sense. And remember, keep grace in focus.
Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith. That's faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, does the theology of Messianic Jews fit into the category of free grace? We hope you'll listen to the next episode of Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.